Okay, so this week it's going to be more of a general discussion about Taimam mitzvahs, about reasons behind mitzvahs. We're going to try to lay out some of the foundational points. So, you know, throughout the Sefer Bereishis, we don't have too many mitzvahs. We will encounter a few mitzvahs which we will try to discuss as they come up. But I think in general, there's a general topic here about how Noach and the Avos related to the mitzvahs, we can gain a general important understanding of the function of mitzvahs, the role of mitzvahs in general, and how we should approach mitzvahs. So a few examples we have first of all, coming up, I think, in Parshas Toldos, where it says that about Avraham Avinu, Vayishmor Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai Vesorosai. He guarded my guardings, Chukosai Mitzvosai Vesorosai, the laws, the mitzvos, and the Torah. And the Gemara learns from here that Avraham Avinu kept the Torah. The Lamed, the Gemara says, that Avram kept the Torah. Kiyem Avram kol Torah kula. Avram kept the whole Torah. And it says, even Eir Tavshilin, which we might come back to discussing. And it learns it from this pasuk. Also in this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Noach. So Noach is commanded that he should take two of each of the non-kosher animals, Deinenu Tahora, and seven of the kosher animals. How did he know which ones were kosher? So I think it's the Machlokas Rishonim. It's a dispute among the Rishonim, so there's seven pairs, or seven altogether, I think. Whatever it was, but he was supposed to distinguish between the kosher and the non-kosher. How did he know which ones were kosher? The Rashi says, Melamed, Lamad, Noach, Torah. We learn from here that Noach learned Torah. So we have to understand how exactly did the Avos and Noach know how to keep the Torah, and what does that mean that they kept the Torah?
He was the first, actually, right?
That we find the statement about that he kept the Torah?
Because there was nobody before him.
Right. I mean, Avraham Avinu, maybe, but right, I don't think we find an explicit statement that Avraham kept the Torah, but yeah, so very good. So that's another statement that's, I think, by Lot. I think it says it, that it was Pesach. But yeah, we find numerous statements referencing these ideas that it was Pesach, right? That Avraham Avinu was keeping Pesach, and they talk about, I think the Shla discusses that when Yitzchak sent Esav to go bring him back a goat, to bring him an animal, it was for the Karban Pesach. We have statements like this that you know, seem to indicate that the Avos were keeping the mitzvah. So we have to understand.
They have to have the rule to do all that.
Right. How did they know how to keep the mitzvah? So there are midrashim that deal with this. The Ramban actually, the Ramban says that they knew it the Ruach HaKodesh, like you're saying, with some sort of nevuah, divine providence. And the Medrash really deals with it. The Medrash says something. It says that one opinion says that Avraham Avinu's kidneys they turned into like jugs of water and they spilled out Torah. Not clear what exactly that means. Seems to be a reference to Ruach HaKodesh in some way. Maybe that's what the Ramban means, that he learned it with Ruach HaKodesh. Or they refer to something, Reb Levi, the Medrash says, Me'atmo Lamad Torah. He learned it on his own. What does it mean that he learned it on his own? So there's a very fundamental piece in the Nefesh HaChaim about the mitzvot and about the Avos keeping the Torah, which I'd like to share with you. So, the Nefesh HaChaim says like this. Kol inyan avodasam shel ha'avos. The whole idea of the service of the avos, who kept the Torah before it was given even, as Chazal Darshan, he quotes our parsha, Parshas Noah, min abehema ha'torah, mikan shalama na'torah. We learn from here the fact that he knew which animals were kosher, that Noah learned Torah, and of course the Gemara on Yuma, that Avraham Avinu kept the Torah, and other references. There's a Medrash that says that Yosef kept Shabbos. So, what exactly were they doing? So says the Nefesh HaChayim, lo shehayu mitzuvim ve'osim kach mitad adin. It's not that they were commanded to do this. They didn't have mitzvot. They had no commandment to fulfill the Torah. If they did, so then they would always have kept the Torah. And they would never have decided at any point to veer from keeping the Torah. Now, where do we find that? So, for example, Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. Right? Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. Or Amram marry his aunt. So these things wouldn't have happened. Those are forbidden if you have the Torah. They wouldn't have done that if they were commanded to keep the Torah. However, except for a few exceptions like that, they kept the Torah. Good. So we'll hopefully discuss that a little bit in 2 weeks when we get there. We'll talk about Basar B'Cholov. I'm going to use that as a springboard to talk about milk and meat in general, and we'll talk about that, those types of questions.
Could it be that, since we know from Bereshit that Adam named the animals, I mean, he gave the names, he could tell through, he could intuit their intrinsic qualities, so maybe Noah, that knowledge passed down to Noah.
Okay.
Down to Noah.
Very good.
Yeah, that he knew that the... Or presume that any kind of animal to be sacrificed had to be an animal that was, for example, not an animal of prey, not a predator.
Right. It's possible. Yeah, I think what we're going to talk about is along those lines. So, what he talks about is, he describes it as, he figu with the ingin sharis nishmasam. They, from the roots of their neshama, they were able to... His words are mitad hasagasam b'toar sichlam. Through the purity of their mind and their heart, they were able to recognize hatikunim hanoraim hanasim b'chol mitzvah. The awesome tikkun, reparations, improvement, the world at large, the olamos, the spiritual realms. They understood the profound impact of a mitzvah. They recognize, you know, if I do this action, then it's a tremendous improvement to the world. And they intuitively, or with their, you know, with their Ruach HaKodesh, with their great spiritual stature, the Avos were able to recognize the awesome effect of a mitzvah, and the awesome negative effect of an Avera. And therefore, they knew what they should be doing, and what they should not be doing. And that's how they were able to keep the Torah. And like you said, he goes on, he says, and Noah, who knew to only bring the kosher animals, he recognized the koach and shoresh ha'elyon so-called hemachaya, the root, the source of the behema, the spiritual forces that were rooted behind each animal. And he understood which one had a root of kedusha, of holiness. Those ones were the kosher animals. He brought them as karbanos. And which ones were rooted in tumah, in impurity. And those ones he would not bring as a karban. So that was how the avos knew what to do. And occasionally, like we mentioned, they understood that they weren't meant to follow... Again, because they were intuiting, they were able to work out on their own what they were supposed to do, so Yaakov Avinu could make a judgment and say, I understand the effect of my actions, and I understand that right now I'm supposed to marry two sisters. Even though later on it will be forbidden for a man to marry two sisters, Yaakov Avinu understood that by marrying two sisters, he's going to cause a profound positive effect in the world. And on the olamos, and the same with Amram marrying his aunt Yocheved, right? That so Yaakov Avinu by marrying two sisters produced the tribes, the 12 shvatim, and Amram through marrying Yocheved produced Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, and Miriam. These are like the, you know, this is it. These are the foundations of the Jewish people.
To work out that way, that they,
so
I'm sure they.
So we're saying.
I wonder whether or not they really thought about it, or if it was just something that was going to happen.
Well, what he's saying is no. They intuited that here they were, even though in general they kept the Torah and they understood the profound impact of their actions. Remember, we're talking about spiritual giants. They can. We can't feel the spirituality around us. We can't. We don't feel the impact of our actions, of a mitzvah of an avera. But they
right, but they understood that if they do what they're going to do, this thing, that the rest of the world will benefit by this.
Right, they understood that a mitzvah is going to improve the world, the physical world, the spiritual world, and avera will have a negative effect. And they understood that here, I'm supposed to, you know, divert. I'm supposed to, you know, step out of line in a way and not keep what's going to eventually be the Torah, but rather to marry two sisters, because that's going to have a profound positive impact on the world.
That we have this story with Rabbi Barbara. I understand he went to some yeshiva.
He went to the yeshiva.
So the question I would have is, what is it that they could teach him that he had not already...
It's a very good question. What could they teach him? That, well, what's your exact question? That he can't figure out on his own? Is that your question? Good question. I'm not sure. Right, very good. Yeah. So your Yaakov Kamenetsky just to finish that thought. Your Yaakov Kamenetsky talks about this. He has a famous idea that in his house, living in the house of Yitzchak, a tzaddik, Avram, his grandfather, so he understood how to live among tzaddikim, but he didn't necessarily know how to keep the Torah among Rishayim. But Shane, who had lived during the, you know, the Dor HaMabul with Rishayim, with the evildoers, he knew how to keep the Torah among even Rishayim. And so Yaakov went to learn by Shane to understand how you don't get impacted, affected by a negative, influence, thank you, around you. So that's one idea of what he went to learn there. Very good. Okay. Now, the Nevi'im Chaim makes one very important point. Oh, he says, by the way, he says, that's one of the reasons why the Torah wasn't given to the Avos. Because once the Torah is given, so we no longer have the right to make these calls that, oh, here, you know, it's better, I think the world will be better off if I don't keep the Torah. Once the Torah is given, that's no longer an option. That was an option before it was given, before we were mitzvahing it. The Avos didn't have mitzvahs, they didn't have to keep it, but they understood that this was what was better for the world. But therefore, they could make the call and say, but right now, it's, you know, I have to marry two sisters, because I have to create Klal Yisrael. So I have to create a Jewish people. That's one of the reasons why they weren't given the Torah, exactly in order to be able to bring that about. Because it was needed. If they would have had the Torah, they wouldn't have been able to do that.
So, before Yaakov, people weren't officially Jewish. Abraham was monotheistic.
And in general, we don't understand there's no difference between Abraham and Yaakov, I don't think.
No.
I don't think so.
So, because the yeshivas were already established at that point. Those centers of learning.
There's a great amount of discussion among the commentaries as to what was the status of the forefathers. Were they considered Jewish, or were they not considered Jewish? But did they keep? But they didn't. They definitely weren't mitzvah. They weren't commanded to keep the Torah. But what did they keep? Did they treat themselves like Jews? Did they treat themselves like non-Jews? Did they take the stringencies of both? They weren't mitzvah, though. There was no Torah yet to be mitzvah.
After the bris, everyone who underwent that, they got Jewish?
That means the Malacha, the creative work of the Mishkan, they had exactly
so
he,
but still, he didn't have he didn't have the he wasn't commanding in the mitzvah still. He didn't have to keep the mitzvah. He had a commandment to get a bris milah.
That's not that everybody who went to bris.
That whatever that means, but he still didn't have the Torah yet, that he had to keep it. So, the mitzvahs were only given later.
Was to be
In the scheme of books, does he
get
into detail at all about the avos?
Rashi quotes,
or is he not? Does he just simply say, this is the
I'm not sure. I don't remember him talking about the elbows anywhere, but it could be that he does somewhere. Okay. So, right. But then the Nefesh HaChayim makes this very important point, which is that a person, once the Torah is given, though, a person no longer has the right to, now we're commanded, now we have to keep the mitzvot as they're giving, and we no longer have the right to make that call on our own and say, oh, I think that, I feel in the root of my neshama that I will have a better effect if I stray from the Torah, that we no longer have the right to say.
In the reform movement.
Right. So we might get there. So far what we're describing is that the avos, they could sense, the impact of their actions, and that's how they knew how to keep the Torah. There's another, maybe you can add on to this, the author of Srabotka says, there's an idea, to Medrash, to Zohar, that when Hashem created the world, Istako b'araiso bara alma, he looked in the Torah and created the world. And the Medrash really goes through this, it describes, it said, Bereishis bara elokim hashamayim v'haaretz, and then he created, Hashem read from the Torah, it's not literal, but the Torah is really the blueprint of creation. We'll talk more about that idea in a moment. But based on that, says the author, so what the avos were able to do is, again, with their great wisdom, a great architect can walk into a building, look around, and then write the blueprint for the existing building, right? There must be this kind of beam over here, and it must be of this material, or it should be at least, and you'll need rafters and right whatever, it's in concrete, right? He could look at an existing edifice and sort of create the blueprint. So the avos were able to look at the world and understand what's the blueprint for this world. What is this world designed for? And they could work backwards and say, and therefore they were able to work out what was in the Torah. Because if the Torah is the blueprint for the world was created in order to be able to fulfill the Torah, so they could look in at the world and figure out what was in the Torah. That's what the author said. So I'd like to really build on that idea to really develop an important point when it comes to Taimei HaMitzvot, when it comes to reasons behind mitzvot. So, the Beis HaLevi, in a discussion really related to the Haggadah of Pesach, the Beis HaLevi is talking about the Rasha, the evil son. Right, the evil son, Rasha Mahu Omer. What does the Rasha say? What does the evil son say? So, we read in the Haggadah that he says, Maha Avoda Azos Lachem. Right, what is this Avoda? What's this service Lachem for you? And we say, Lufi Shehotzi Atzo Min HaKlal, since he's removed himself. Kafar be'ikr, he's a denier, since he's saying for you, not for me, he's a denier, and you have to hack it, you have to numb his teeth, and Then Marlo, and you say to him, if you were there, you wouldn't have been there. You wouldn't have been taken out. So the Beis Levi says, yeah, we give that response, right? If he challenges something, that's what we're going to respond. But at the end of the day, we need to answer his question. Right? That's not answering his question. That's supposed to be if somebody challenges your belief. So you have to have a strong response because you have to maintain your belief. But at the end of the day, we also have to be able to answer the question. So we first have to know what was the question and what's the answer. So he suggests that the Russia, the evil son, is among the group of people who want to suggest reasons behind mitzvah. And once they suggest, oh, this is the reason why we do this mitzvah, so then they might come along and say that, okay, but if the reason's no longer relevant, then the mitzvah's no longer relevant, and let's strike it. You know, strike it from the record. We don't have to do this mitzvah anymore. It's not relevant in our time. Why should we do it? That was what the Russia was asking about. The mitzvah of the Karban Pesach, it's not a chok, it's not an unknown, it's not a mitzvah without any reason, right? The Pesach sacrifice, it's not for no reason. There was a very good reason to do it. Right, the sheep was an avodah zarah. It was one of the idols of the Egyptians, and we're commanded to we were commanded to take the sheep and slaughter it out in the open in front of them, and don't break a bone because and roast it whole. Make sure, you know, it's very clear what we're dealing with here. Everybody should see it, you know, that we're taking the Egyptian god and, you know, just making a carbon out of it for our god. It should be very clear. And the point was to be mevatel, to nullify any belief in this idol. And the Jewish people themselves had succumbed through the difficult times they had. They themselves, during their period in Egypt, many of them ended up serving idols as well, and we had to stamp that out. We had to bring a carbon and to show that, you know, that there's nothing in this idol worship. Not with their gods.
No, but other things.
I can imagine, but I don't know.
Maybe it was more symbolic, like an idol or something.
I'm not sure. So that was the point of the carbon paper. So, you know, that was relevant for a while, as long as there was, you know, avodah zarah, idol worship was rampant in the world. But he says nowadays, you know, there may be a couple of corners of the earth where they're still worshiping idols, but it's pretty uncommon nowadays. And so the Russia says, why are you doing this avodah? What's the point of this mitzvah? There's no purpose to this mitzvah anymore. I agree that there was a good reason for this mitzvah, you know, at one point, but nowadays we need to find different ways to serve God. We should no longer be doing this mitzvah. So that's what we are coming to respond to. So that's at least the way. I mean, there's probably many different approaches, but the way the Beis Halevi is taking it, he's absolutely knowledgeable. He knows the reason for this mitzvah.
What did you do? What's wrong with that?
Well, again, you know, there's probably 100 different or more different explanations for exactly what the Russia, you know, who the Russia is and what he's asking, but the Beis Halevi is learning that he's knowledgeable, he understands the reason for the mitzvah, but he's saying that's no longer relevant, so let's get rid of this mitzvah and let's find different ways to serve God. That's what the Russia is saying. And it's to that which we find the answer. Now, in the Haggadah, so we say, Bavur zeh asah Hashem li b'tzeisim mitzrayim. That's the answer. Now, this, in those words, there's really a very strong and important response to his challenge. It's true. You're correct that They put it on a wagon to take it. At the time of the Karban Pesach, when they brought it in Egypt, it accomplished this goal to nullify the Avodah Zarah, nullify the idol. But still, we're telling him something very new and important when we tell him this. And that is, even the mitzvot for which we know the reason, like matzah. Matzah, we know the reason. The pasuk says, why do we eat matzah? The bread didn't have time to rise. The dough didn't have time to rise, and they carry it. They brought matzah. When they left Mitzrayim, all they had was, you know, flatbread. And maybe even it's lechem oni. In Egypt, they didn't have time for their bread to rise. They were working so hard. So we know, we have a reason why we eat matzah. Maror also is, right? Because they embittered our lives, so we eat maror. And Pesach, because Hashem was, I mean, one is reason is what we're giving, and also the way the Torah says it, Shepasach HaBatzim Mitzrayim, because Hashem skipped over the houses of the Jews. HaBatzim Yavos Tzayim. So fine, so we have these reasons, right? We have reasons for the mitzvot, why we're doing the mitzvot. But he says, but certainly that's not the yesod of the mitzvot. That's not the foundation of the mitzvot. That's not why this mitzvot exists. The reason, those reasons, is why we feel obligated, or why we should feel obligated to do the mitzvah. Because otherwise we're deniers of good, we're kafoy tova. Right, we're supposed to be doing this mitzvah to recognize our history, to recognize the miracle that Hashem did for us, the experience that we had, to remember it, to remember the Exodus from Egypt. So that's a reason why we should feel obligated to do the mitzvah. But that's not why we do it. That's what maybe obligates us, what makes us feel obligated. But that's not why we do the mitzvah. He says,
so Rashi is the way he's setting it up the whole way through, is that the paradigm example.
The reason for the mitzvah, the yesod of the mitzvah, the foundation of the mitzvah, it's not because of what happened in Mitzrayim. As we know, the Torah existed before the world existed. Right? We say it's the blueprint of creation. It existed before the world even existed. And it's setting it. You know, eat matzah. Avram Avinu, as we mentioned, kept the whole Torah. He ate matzah on Pesach. Yitzchak had a carbon Pesach, right? Why? What's the point? They didn't leave Egypt yet. So why are they bringing a carbon Pesach? Why are they eating matzah?
They had the rule, right? They knew it was coming.
So what?
What do you mean? So they have to set an example, right?
So the Beis HaLevi says, this is the key line, these mitzvot didn't come into existence because of the redemption from Egypt. He says it's the opposite. Mizchus mitzvah pesach u'matzah are because of these mitzvot, nitzmacha gulas, and that's why we had a redemption. Because of the mitzvot, we had a redemption. Because now we have to do the mitzvot. And others did the mitzvot even before the redemption, right? The mitzvot exist. We've spoken about the Nefesh HaChaim, right? The profound impact on the olamos, on the spiritual realms. We have no idea what a mitzvah is. Tremendous impact of a mitzvah. The tremendous negative impact of an avera. That exists independent of the even before the tzibo, even before the commandment. That now that once there is a mitzvah, so now Hashem then engineered a experience for us that would make us feel obligated to do the mitzvah. We talked about the word ta'am, meaning both a reason and a taste. A reason for a mitzvah gives us a taste. It gives us, it helps us. It just like taste in food, it doesn't give it more nutrition. It has the nutrition whether the taste is there or not. It just, you know, spices it up a little bit. It makes it easier for us to eat it. It makes it more enjoyable. So to a time of a mitzvah, it's a reason, but it's just a taste. It doesn't add to the mitzvah. The mitzvah is independent of the reason. The mitzvah has a profound impact because Hashem wanted that mitzvah to be fulfilled. And Hashem then engineered a reason for the mitzvah in order that we can have that time, we can have that taste, and we could feel obligated to do it.
Would they have had something like Yom Kippur at their tone?
I can imagine on some level, but I'm not sure. Interesting question. Another example of this Rav Schwab points out in Mayim Beis HaShoeva is the mitzvah that one is not allowed to marry an Ammoni or a Moabi. Right? So why don't we marry an Ammoni or a Moabi? Or why doesn't we're allowed to marry a woman, actually. But why can't a Jewish woman marry a Ammonite man or a Moabite man? So the Torah says,
they were both descended from Lot, and there weren't one Moab inside his village, and Ammon, they were not, they were tweet over.
Okay, good. So the way the Torah says it is, Al Devar Asher Lo Kidmu Eschem Lechem Uvamayim, because they didn't give us water and bread. We wanted to pass through their lands. They said no. They didn't even let us pass through their lands at all. And therefore, one is not allowed to marry a Moabite or a Ammonite. So now, when did that happen?
It happened when they were at the border, like,
right? At the end of the 4 years, when we were just, you know, almost ready, in the 38th year, or whatever it was, right? When we were almost ready to go into Israel. When was the Torah given?
It was 4 years before, though. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and were there any mitzvahs that weren't given at Sinai? No, every mitzvah was given at Har Sinai, which means that the mitzvah not to marry a Ammonite and a Moabite was already given 40 years before they did the action that wouldn't allow us to marry, that says you cannot marry them.
How far ahead of the Torah did these peoples exist? Quite a bit, right?
Who?
The Ammonite and the Moabite.
They were
there from quite some time before.
Right, but the reason that the Torah gives that you can't marry them is because 38 years after the Torah is given, 36 years, whatever it was, they wouldn't allow us to pass through. Rav Shav, what's going on here? So he says, he references the Beis HaLevi, then it's the same idea. That it's not that we don't marry them because they didn't let us in, right? We don't marry them because there is a profound negative impact on the Olamos if a person would marry a Moabite. That's how Hashem designed the world. That's the system that Hashem put in place. Then Hashem put a reason into the world, an occurrence, an experience that, you know, helps us relate to this mitzvah easier, and gives us. Gives us a taste, makes the mitzvah more attainable for us.
So, like, when Abraham was going out and getting a lot of people to believe what he believed, as a monotheist, was it just his persona which got these people to change? Or did God already set up the conditions ahead of time?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Okay, so Abraham is going out to the world, and he's convincing people to believe the way he believes. Okay, so are these people, you know, they're accepting his ideas. These people were, if you will, I guess the Noahide people, maybe?
Whoever they were.
Yeah, so God had already ordained that these people were going to... Now, after Abraham passed, when he was gone, there was a slowdown in that, right?
Absolutely.
There wasn't a whole lot going on at that point.
Yeah, Yitzchak was very different than Abraham. There's also Rabbi Yaakov talked about.
What was Yaakov's personality? He was still pretty much with the family and such, right? Yaakov?
Yeah.
He was pretty much an introvert also, right?
I'm not sure, but... Okay, just coming back to our topic, so that the Beis HaLevi says that's why Yetzias Mitzrayim happened, in order that we should be able to have these mitzvot. And he says that's true of all timing of mitzvot, all the reasons behind mitzvot. They're not the reason why we do the mitzvah, We do the mitzvah because it's a tzivoy, it's a command of Hashem, and it's part of the system that Hashem put in place, that this is, you know, has a tremendous impact, and the time and the reasons that we have, that the Torah gives, that we try to work on, are just for ourselves in order to help us along in fulfilling those mitzvahs.
If the commandment really predates that, precedes that.
So, wait, sorry, one more time?
Okay, so we say in Kiddush, Zeko Lutian was trying.
Right.
But if the Yitzhak Mitzrayim was not the reason for the mitzvah, so why do we even reference that?
So, some understand that the reference to Yitzhak Mitzrayim actually helps us perform the mitzvah better. Taz says this about Sukkah, that by remembering Yitzhak Mitzrayim, so it's such a fundamental part of our belief system, the Makos, and what we saw there and what we passed down to future generations, that if you think about Yitzhak Mitzrayim before you do a mitzvah, then that's going to be a good mitzvah. You're going to do that mitzvah really well because you have such a clarity of Hashem's, you know, of this is a mitzvah of the Ribono Shel Olam, of the Almighty, that we all witnessed His hand. Then you know that's going to be a kiddush. That's going to be a mitzvah, right? The Beis Halevi's son, Rabbi Chaim Brisker, takes this even a step further, this idea, and he says that this is true not only for these types of mitzvahs you might call ritual mitzvahs, but it's true even for mitzvah sichlios, logical mitzvahs. Do not kill. Do not murder. Do not steal. Reb Chaim says that the reason why these things are forbidden in the Torah isn't because we all know that stealing is a terrible thing, murder is a terrible thing. He says it's the opposite. Hashem wanted to make these actions forbidden. He wanted to create a world where there's a system where this action is forbidden. And therefore, He put into the Bria, into creation, into the souls and the intellect of people that this is an abominable action, that this is a terrible thing. But it starts with the mitzvah. There's the mitzvah, you know, don't steal. And then Hashem, when He designed the world, when He put made existence, right, He looked in Histako Be'araisa, He looked in the Torah, and He created the world in a way that we could fulfill the mitzvahs. And for some mitzvahs like those, He made it sichli, He made it logical to us, it makes sense to us, and therefore it's easier for us to fulfill that mitzvah.
Well, that makes every non-believer a tzaddik.
Because?
A guy gets up and goes short of doing anything, but he doesn't shoot anybody that day.
Well, it's certainly a mitzvah, but, okay, that gets into different discussion if, you know, what power you get for a mitzvah that you, let's say not a negative, he helps people, but he doesn't, so, yeah, okay, that's, so, so, right, really they say this idea also in Parshas Mishpatim, which really talks about all these mitzvah sichlios, all the logical mitzvahs, it's sort of monetary law and just really sensible things that make sense to us. And the first Rashi there talks about how all these mitzvahs were given at Sinai, and the point the mafarshim say about that Rashi is that it's to remind you that these mitzvahs are like other mitzvahs. They're given at Sinai. The reason why they are forbidding, and the reason why they're wrong is because it's a mitzvah, because Hashem said, don't steal. It's not because I think it's bad to steal. Society thinks it's bad to steal. The reason why it's bad to steal is because Hashem said that it's forbidden to steal. And what we're saying here is that, and therefore Hashem made it easy for us, and He made it that it's, in our minds, it's also bad. There are some mitzvahs that, you know, like, let's say, shatness, which isn't like that, you know. It's forbidden to wear shatness. We don't really understand it, so it's not, Hashem didn't make that one easy for us. But fortunately, it doesn't, you know, it's not such a challenge in our time. So, okay, I think, you know, that basically sums it up, that this idea and the foundational point when it comes to mitzvot that I wanted to bring out today, which is that we are going to continue learning about taimei ha-mitzvot. We're going to be learning the reasons behind mitzvot. We're going to probably keep coming back to this idea. But it's a very important Beis HaLevi. The Avos kept the Torah, right? The Avos kept the Torah even before the reasons existed. Because at the end of the day, the reason for the mitzvah is not the why we do it. We do the mitzvah because it's a tzivoy of Hashem. The impact is there. Hashem wanted this mitzvah to be in the world, and he designed the world and designed events in order that these mitzvahs can be brought about, that we would have the opportunity and sometimes the ease or the more feeling when we have the chance to perform those mitzvahs.